The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All it accounted for. Of course, Brady's here, Rich is here, Artie's here on a busy Tuesday. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy? Where are your headphones?
Nothing works. So
I don't understand how you've been doing radio 50 years. You don't have your own headphones. I don't understand.
Well, this is what happens when you check them 1 minute before the show starts.
You know, I almost bought Rich headphones. Seriously, this is going to be my Christmas present to Rich. I was going to buy him. I was going to buy you really nice headphones.
Yeah, but then beer holders more. I'd have more use for that.
But then I was like, well, he's just going to leave them in the studio and they're going to get broken.
Well, didn't the company buy headphones and leave them in here?
The company did buy headphones for
everybody here. And I don't believe that they don't work.
It's that box right there. That
no, I don't. Work. I don't believe that the box doesn't work either.
Well, I'm not too worried about it. Do you realize that this is the first? What are you doing?
He's right. That box doesn't work.
It's dead.
There's something wrong with the box. He's right. I can't believe it.
This is the first show the three of us have done in this studio in 12 days. 11 days?
I haven't been counting.
11 days.
Oh, because you were at the Super Bowl.
I missed it, I guess. I missed it here.
Wow. I don't believe that, but I'll say, well, anyway.
A week ago, week before Friday was our last show.
Was it that long?
Yeah.
That's why you need a vacation coming up, right? Is that what you're thinking? By the way, I'm not going to let you go to Arizona.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, I'm not going to let you do
it. Guy who's worked here for a year.
You
and a
have
half.
To get out of your comfort zone.
Uh-huh.
And if people want to get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, where should Rich take his vacation? You can't go to Arizona every year.
It's called
Rich.
Spring training and sunshine.
No, this is where you need
but
to
the
go.
Red Sox are in Florida.
Yeah,
so
I don't need to see them. I'll see enough of them. I don't care who's on the field.
Let me tell you where. Let me be the first to give a suggestion, okay? And by the way, if you want to give a suggestion to Rich where he should vacation, because he's got to get out of his comfort zone. You need to either go to Hawaii, but that's too far because you're going to spend like a day getting there.
And it's not cheap.
I hear the Canadian Rockies are good.
Yeah, that don't Absolutely. Go there. No, don't go there.
I've gone there many times.
I went there for my honeymoon. Do not go there.
That's right. Lisa.
Do not go there.
You went there for Lake Louise.
How much Lake Louise, Banff?
The most beautiful place I've ever been in my life.
How much water are you going to drink and look at?
It's called skiing.
Yeah, but my wife's like, well, look at that glacier. I go, yeah. 10 minutes looking at glaciers. How many more glaciers you think I want to look at? I'm there for 10 days. I got bored after 10 minutes.
The most beautiful place I've ever seen, and I've seen everywhere in North America. It's stunningly gorgeous.
You need to go to Los Angeles.
Ugh.
Universal Studios.
Yeah, sit in traffic.
Go see some minor league baseball.
Where?
Enjoy yourself.
Where do you suggest I do that in March?
He can't go see. Yeah, he can't see it in March.
Well, that's right. You can't see it there because of the thing. But
the season has even started in minor leagues, and it's not till April. I don't need that. I need to sit in a sun-drenched stadium on a grassy berm in left field with a
cold
beer.
But you do it every year. Go to Hawaii. Do something. Get out of that comfort zone.
Well,
do
then
something.
I'm going to drive 12 hours to go see my daughter. Does that count?
Yes, that's good.
That's fine. But, I mean, you know, you go to Arizona every – this is like the 50th straight year you're going to Arizona.
Yeah. Yes,
no, it can't be like that every year.
Where else can you go and sit in 90-degree sunshine?
Go to Nebraska.
One day and then ski.
Go to Nebraska.
And then ski in Tahoe the next 2 days.
Have you ever been to Nebraska?
Yes.
No, you have not.
Sure I have. I've driven through it many times.
Go to Nebraska.
I hear Omaha's lovely this
have
time
Have you ever
of
been
year.
To Texas?
Of course.
Have you?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to go back there. You don't want to go back there.
I want two things. I want to see my daughter, and I want to see spring training.
Okay. Well, you go to Florida then. Nah, but you know what? I don't like Florida either.
Well,
I hate Florida.
Tahoe is a long drive from Florida.
Yeah, I like Tahoe, though. I do like Tahoe.
Well, that's where she lives.
I don't like Florida, though. Florida makes me sick.
Where else can you watch spring training and ski on the same vacation?
I don't know. Maybe you should go to, like, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan or something like that. Get really out of that comfort zone.
Yeah.
Brady, we got a game tonight. By the way, people are sending stuff on where you should go for your vacation, so we'll have to get that.
What's wrong with being comfortable? Exactly, Mr. Unnamed.
What's wrong with being comfortable?
I know where Rich should go on his vacation.
Where?
Best Buy, Walmart, anywhere they sell headphones.
That's true.
It's not my fault. It's that damn box.
It is. There's something wrong with that box. I'll fix that later on after the show. You know I'm the handyman around here.
It's not like I can't hear you without headphones.
I think the
they can hear you across the street.
The flux capacitor broke down. I'm going to fix that
soon. But when I play you great Bill Belichick audio, you wouldn't be able to hear it because you need headphones to be able to hear the audio.
It's pretty safe what he says.
Oh, my goodness. People rip it, Jamie. isn't the point of taking a vacation is to be in your comfort zone?
Exactly.
No, it's to get out of that car. You know what? Vacation in April and go out to L.A. and go to a Dodger game, go to an Angel game, go to a Diamondback. If you must see baseball, because I know you got to go see baseball. God forbid you don't see baseball on your vacation.
That is correct.
Why don't you just go to a bunch of restaurants and stuff your face? How about that?
Like, L.A. sounds so beautiful this time of year where I can sit in exhaust-filled traffic messes for hours on end.
Yes, go to Universal Studios.
And a whole city full of fake, phony, made-up people.
If you've never been to Universal Studios,
actually, my whole family lives in Southern California.
Wow! You just insulted Brady's family.
And I was born in Southern California.
You were?
Yes, thank
you. My whole family and friends live in California, and you are right. They are a bunch of phonies. But that's beside the point, so you're just going for a
week
anyway.
Not my family.
Hey, come on now.
The grass of left field.
My whole family went to Cal State Fullerton. I was born in Orange County, you're calling them all fake.
Rich is getting like every person on his side. Rich, I used to live in South Lake Tahoe. It's a great place to live.
Yes.
Fine.
My daughter's been there for 2.5 years, and she lives in the back of a truck in a parking lot.
Later,
she loves it.
Later on in the show, we are going to spin the wheel wherever it lands. That's where Rich will take his vacation. If we paid for your vacation and we spun the wheel, would you take the vacation that way, huh?
Congratulations. You're going to Presque Isle, Maine.
South Dakota. How about that?
Or in the case of Newlywood Game for you, Micronesia.
Micronesia. I never took the trip. Never took the trip.
That's one of the funniest stories.
Yeah. Brady, we got a game tonight.
Big game.
Yeah. I know you were a little upset yesterday.
Why?
Well, seeing the bartender that scored like 50 on you last week or a couple weeks ago.
It was not 50. It was
49.
It was probably
whatever.
20.
By the way, he looked just like you.
Yeah, and he was just – and by the way, he takes basketball more serious than us. He was going through like every minute of all 7 or 8 of his games. Was he not, Rich? He goes, and in game 4, with 3 minutes left, I made a layup, got fouled, but they didn't call the foul. And he's going through like every game for crying out loud.
Yes, he had it completely down to a science as to the box score of every game and the play-by-play. Yeah, so that had me a little salty, but because he did play better than me. But we'll play tonight. Hopefully we'll win. Rumor is we're playing a good team.
Oh, we are playing a good team?
That's the word. Okay. Word is we're playing the team that's won the league the last couple of years.
Oh, so I'm really going to have to
probably
shoot the ball. Yeah,
6'7" former UVM players.
And you're really going to have to just be on the bench.
We only have 5 guys, plus we got a ringer for
tonight.
It's like a halfer. It's our buddy Matt, who
is not Coppin
very good.
Rath.
Yeah, he's not
he's coming over from Barnett.
Yeah, our buddy Matt's not very good. We just need a body. So
I know.
I told him not to shoot or
dribble
or do anything.
Or pass.
Just stand in the corner.
Just play defense.
I don't expect much defense out of him anyway, so we'll see what happens.
And trivia tomorrow.
Yeah, trivia tomorrow. Tell everybody you're going to be out there tomorrow.
We're going to be at the City Sports Grill tomorrow for half-price burgers, trivia, and apparently a blizzard.
Yes.
But
I've heard about that.
Look, drive safe. Come out to trivia anyways. We're going. We'll be there 7:30 to 9:30, City Sports Grill in Colchester. We'll have all kinds of fun. We got all kinds of swag, prizes, great questions, and half-price burgers.
Yeah. Real quick.
It'll be cozy.
It'll be great.
Milo says, don't listen to him, Rich. Phoenix is a great place to go see baseball in March. I can't wait myself. So you can go hang out with Milo and have a good time out there.
All I can say is the grassy berm in left field with a cold beer in my hand.
And Brian in Richmond says, live in a truck in a parking lot. Do tell.
I'm not going to. That's all you're getting about my daughter. She couldn't be happier. She definitely takes after her dad.
All right. Brady, what is coming up on the show today?
Lots to get to. What's next for the Patriots in terms of their coaching carousel? That's 10 minutes from now. Tom Caron of Nesson 435. Matt Verderam of FanSided for the last time this season.
Wow.
He breaks down the tape with us at 5. The Celtics have interest in a big-name trade piece. But first, reports are out from WEEI that Bill Belichick, quote, infuriated some of the players and coaches on his staff with the move to bench Malcolm Butler, and the locker room was divided. Your take on that?
All right, so obviously the locker room knew about it. Coming out of it they made it sound like he tapped him on the shoulder like right before kickoff and said, you know, you're going to go ahead and sit on the sideline there. A couple of things about this. This is the first time in my life, or at least doing sports radio, and I don't remember Belichick with Cleveland, so I don't remember what was going on back then or if we even had a show, that people are questioning not only his genius, but his motives, his direction, his leadership. And I have to be honest with you, for the rumors that are going around, and again, the rumors are he wasn't feeling well. We're talking about Malcolm Butler.
Yep.
Wasn't feeling well, was not playing well in practice, was a little bit late on curfew. I don't even know if the bag of weed has come into anything like that anyway, but Bottom line is that's why he was benched. I don't believe you can bench somebody and cost everybody else the opportunity to win. And I think that goes in the pro level. And I even say something a little bit about that in the high school level also. Notice I skipped the college level. I say it about the high school level because, to me, if you punish a big star in high school and there's other kids on the team that are trying to get scholarships or be seen by college coaches, that's a pretty steep penalty to take away from all the other kids when their whole life is on the line. And college education is a real important thing. So I'm mostly against, unless it's something really bad, punishing a high school kid like that.
Don't you feel like in high school, though, a lesson learned is more important than it is at that level in the NFL?
But I don't want the other kids to suffer. I don't want the other kids to be passed up to be seen in the playoffs, let's say, because one star is out and you have six or seven other kids looking to get scholarships. That's a whole life. Now, college kids, the pros know who they're going to take, they're not going to take. I don't think missing the NCAA tournament is that big of a deal. But just getting back to Belichick, I think he let his ego get in the way. It's the first time that it's cost him. And I think he's being questioned, and rightfully so. I think he did 100% wrong on
this. I disagree with you on the high school thing. But getting back to the Belichick thing, I've always said I would absolutely hate this guy. if he didn't make my team win or have a lot to do with it every single year. But I genuinely was pissed at him all day yesterday and throughout the Super Bowl, but the game was so riveting I didn't really get too carried away with that situation. But yesterday when you had time and today you have time to think about it, I mean, how stupid can you be?
I'm curious about the report. So it's Kirk Minahan of WEI who says that, quote, some players and coaches were, quote, furious with Belichick. Yeah. One, is that they knew before the game and they went out there distracted and upset? Or is it after the game, once we know the result and how the game transpired, they're now upset saying, well, what could have been? I want to know when did they get furious? Were they furious before the game because they knew, or were they furious during and after? Look, we've seen this before. Locker rooms get divided by coaching decisions. We saw it with the Seahawks locker room after the interception on the goal line pass that the Patriots won the Super Bowl on. This kind of stuff does happen. And I don't have a problem with Belichick proving a point if Malcolm Butler deserved it. Because all along, for the last 15 years, Belichick has been praised for, we'll get rid of you one game or 1 year too early rather than 1 year too late, and we'll take the malcontents and make them better. And if you're not going to ship up, then you're going to ship out. And if Butler did something egregious and did something wrong, which we don't know yet, then I have to say that this is par for the course with everything this guy has done for the last 20 years.
Well, the difference with the Seattle thing is the problem developed after the game. I always said to my boss that was here forever, I don't want you to walk in 5 minutes before my show and tell me something I'm doing wrong. Do not do that. Tell me after the show, and we have a chance to talk about it. The situation with the Super Bowl all happened right before the game, as far as we know, and they sure played like they were distracted.
Brady, you said 15 years ago people praised Belichick, for the way he did this and the way he's doing this. See, there's the difference. We talked about this in baseball. 15 years ago, you didn't have to be a player's manager. You could be the stodgy old guy and yell at players. Now you got to be their best friend, or for the most part, you got to be their best friend. You got to know how to handle them. You got to be pals with them. 15 years ago, maybe that was the right way to handle it and be firm and say, I'm going to bench you. 15 years later in 2018, that's not the right way. You don't handle it in 2018 like that.
But now Belichick has the credibility of all the winning to back up his decision. He got rid of Jamie Collins last year. Right. We crushed him for it. They win the Super Bowl.
And that's why you're making my point. He's coaching like it's 15 years ago.
He didn't pay Malcolm Butler in the offseason. He gave the money to Gilmore, and everyone said, oh, Bill knows. Yeah. Bill knows Butler's not that good. Look, if Butler did nothing wrong, then I don't agree with him being benched. I think he could have helped. But if he did do something wrong, then I don't know that we can question it at this point.
Rich, I have to think that they knew about it before the game because Butler was crying, and they all had their hands on their shoulder pads, on the anthem. So if you're looking at the field, the guy has the right hand over his heart, the left hand on the player's shoulder pad. I don't know who was standing next to him, but when you see your teammate crying, you want to go, you don't just say, let's play football. You're like, what the hell's going on here? All knew, as far as I'm concerned, they knew.
I'll say the same thing I said yesterday, and I don't feel this way at certain levels like high school and to a point college, but in the pros, unless he went out there and shot somebody on the streets of Minneapolis, there's no reason for him not to be playing in the Super Bowl.
Maybe a series.
Yeah, but see, that... Look, I get the sentiment, but you're going to if you're going to say that and make it kind of this lawless, oh, you're above the law, or this game is above the rest of the games, then you're compromising the entire legacy that the Patriots have. You're selling out the entire everything you've done for the last 20 years.
But I get that, but what if he was 20 minutes late for curfew?
And that I'm saying I have a different opinion about. But if the marijuana is involved, like these are the things that I want to know. I'm just saying that until we know the facts, I have to air that it's okay that it's not okay to criticize Belichick because he's built up that trust. Until I know the facts. Look, I like Butler. I wanted them to sign Butler long term. I didn't want them to give that money to Gilmore. Even though Butler broke my team's heart, I have no problem with him. He was one of the highest rated cornerbacks in the league last year, according to Pro Football Focus. I wanted him here for the long term. But if he did something wrong, I have to air that Belichick's 15 years, 20 years of credibility are going to take precedence.
Jimmy Johnson once said, he cut a player, and the player said, well, you treat people differently. And you know what Jimmy said? You're damn right. I treat Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael differently than the backup offensive lineman. So if Tom Brady wasn't feeling good, had a bad week of practice, and was found with a pound of marijuana, he plays the game. He plays the game.
Yes,
I promise you that. So people are treated differently. And guess what? Your starting corner, second best on the team, should be treated differently than any other schmo out there.
As I said, if Butler did nothing wrong and they just thought it was a football move, then I'll go at Belichick and criticize it because I like Butler and I think he could have helped. If he did something wrong, just don't act, whether you agree or not, don't act like this is new. Belichick has gotten rid of people constantly over the last 20 years and won. And we've all said, oh, and Bill, we trust.
Yes.
But you're not saying that now.
No.
You can't have this both ways.
I understand it. That was my next sentence was the in Bill we trust has been stretched to the absolute limits on a situation like this.
Richard Essex says, Arnie, the Pats had their hands on each other's shoulders at the championship game. That's not the point I was making. The point that he was crying, you would have asked your teammate, what the hell is going on here? Brady, who's on the line?
Nick in Burlington.
Nick, you're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Nick?
I think that Butler has some kind of attitude problem. Anyway, even last year for the Super Bowl, he was walking around after the game kind of with an ambivalent attitude. And, you know, after the Super Bowl this time, he was caught saying that things would have been different if he was in the game, basically alluding to, you know, they would have possibly won that game if he was in there. And how dare he separating himself from the loss? What kind of teammate is that to separate yourself from that loss?
What would you like him to say when they asked him? When the reporters asked him, how would it be any different if you were in the game?
Well, it sounds like there was a reason why he was benched.
Oh, well, that wasn't the question, though. The question is, hey, how come? Would the game have been different if you were in the game? How would you have answered it?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
All right, I appreciate the call. I would have answered it the very same way. I would have said this is the same damn thing, Brady.
Butler's come out with a statement recently within the last few minutes. It's lengthy, so I'll just take part of it.
Okay.
He says, let's see, I would never do anything to hurt my team's chances of winning a game, including this year's Super Bowl, where I visited with my family every night. During Super Bowl week, I never attended any concert, missed curfew, or participated in any of the ridiculous activities being reported. They are not only false, but hurtful to me and my family. Although I wish I could have contributed more to help the team win, I have to get ready for the next opportunity moving forward. I will do what I have always done to work hard and prepare for next season to be the best I can be on and off the field.
Okay, Paul's in Belichick's court. He didn't miss curfew.
Yeah, that's the
according
high road.
To him.
That's the high road of saying what all the other people are saying, and they're mad at Belichick.
He's saying he didn't. Now, we don't know about the other situations. I still think he got into it with one of the coaching staff, which is what I heard.
Well,
there's no doubt. I'm sure he got into it. When they told him he wouldn't play it, I'm sure he got into it.
But when Belichick gives that same old tired statement, I was just doing what I felt was the best thing for us to win. No, it isn't. You're taking Butler out of the game. That's not making you win.
Brady, you believe this guy?
I believe Butler. So I do believe it if he's going to come out and say this, but I also know this is a guy who's a free agent who's got to make himself look as good as possible.
But he didn't say there wasn't a bag of marijuana or anything like
that. Yes, he did. He said, I've never engaged in any, I did not engage in any of the ridiculous activities that are being speculated upon.
Well, I don't know.
I would take marijuana to be a ridiculous activity.
Marijuana was one of the speculated activities.
I know that, but I didn't think that, I mean, ridiculous activities, that could be a legal activity. I mean, drinking, is that a ridiculous? I don't know. I didn't put that under that situation. Maybe I'm wrong on that. You guys did. I didn't put it under that.
But,
Like you said, it's all in
he said he never missed
court.
Curfew.
Okay, that, which is big. That's big
so,
also.
I guess if he had a couple of beers until 10 p.m. in the hotel room, I guess I'm not going to crucify the guy for it.
No, I just want to know who's telling the truth here. That's all.
So I believe Butler, and that changes some of what I've said in this first segment. But for Patriot fans to be crushing Belichick all week, it's just it rings on whatever that is, hollowed ears or whatever that thing is. Because and Bill, we trust when you win, but when you lose, he's the devil. I'm not buying that.
All right. If you want to make a comment on that, Tom Fair Tire text line 802, and you should have plenty to say on that 802-655-6672 802-655-6672. Last thing on that, you know, players have to change, coaches got to change also. You know, we say it in baseball all the time. You know, all that be a player's manager and all that stuff. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Patriots lose Josh McDaniels, Matt Patricia. Woo! What's next?
Goodbye.
And how big a loss are they?
Goodbye. We'll talk about that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Step one, watch sports. Step two, talk about sports. Now, back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. You got your all you had to do was plug in your headphones. Notice that? You didn't even have them plugged in. Unbelievable.
Our engineer's in the next room. He says, he walks in the break, why don't you have headphones on? I said, because none of them work.
But that's not true. You didn't
have
them plugged
in. He walks in, plugs it in, and
boom.
And it's perfect.
You're just such a knuckle.
And you also tried it, and it didn't work.
You're looking like a knucklehead.
No, I was just backing you up. I didn't try it. I was just backing you up.
Oh, I see.
I lied.
That doesn't happen too well.
You're looking like a knucklehead. Rich don't have headphones. He's looking like a knucklehead.
You are looking like a knucklehead. A urine analysis. This is from an unknown texter. A urine analysis. Butler can solidify the truth by immediately having a team doctor perform the test. Solve it or lie. Mike and Castleton. I don't think that solves anything. I mean, if you smoked marijuana, it doesn't stay in your system for like a month or two or something like that.
So he's saying get it done now and prove it. Prove that you don't have marijuana in your system.
Well, he could have said he smoked months ago.
Maybe he bought a bag and never smoked it because he had the Super Bowl
but
coming
up. But if he took a test, but he could have said he smoked months ago, a month or something ago. I don't understand what
the
that's going to prove.
Is so bizarre.
Gabe and Winooski said, do we know why he was in the hospital and a day late joining the team? This could be the root of the problem. Yeah. We know he was sick. And I don't know.
That's the rumor.
Yeah, and I don't know why he was a day late joining the team.
Well, he was not at Super Bowl media night, and he was listed as sick. Right. He was listed with the flu.
So, but that doesn't mean he was a day late joining the team. He just could have been in his hotel room sick or whatever it was. So I don't know. I have no idea on that. All right, Brady,
you're going to read that unnamed one there?
Which one?
Not to interrupt, the NFL is over one.
Oh, NFL's over. It's hockey time.
Yeah. Can't wait for that Bees game tonight.
I'll give you 5 seconds on hockey. Go.
They're playing in Detroit tonight. They're the hottest team in the NHL.
Let's get to who they lost, Brady. They're losing their offensive and defensive coordinators.
Yep, Matt Patricia, he's in Detroit. Josh McDaniels, he's in Indianapolis. This is what we expected, and then we heard that McDaniels might stick around to wait for Belichick, but in the end, they do both leave, and it's getting worse for the Pats because the assistant quarterback coach, Jerry Schaplinski, he's joining McDaniel's staff with the Colts.
Oh, not Schaplinski.
The Pats could also lose their special teams coordinator, and Dante Scarnecchia was non-committal on the offensive line about being back next year.
But he would be a rough locker room guy to lose. He's one of the spiritual leaders, if you will, of that
team. Because this is the first time we've heard of those names.
Dante Scarnecchia's been with him for, what, 30 years?
And Schaplinski.
I think they were called the Boston Patriots when Scarnecchia joined him. Gino Cappelletti was their kicker.
Three things you need to know. You need to have the head coach, offensive and defensive coordinators.
Right.
I don't want to care about the quarterback coach, the special teams coach, the offensive line coach. That's all meaningless to me, to be
honest. Well, for me, as a Pats fan, I hate it. I mean, last time this happened, I mean, obviously they've had good season after good season, but the last time they lost their coaching staff, as I recall, they didn't make the playoffs. They didn't get back to a Super Bowl for 10 years. They didn't win one. I think they lost two to the Giants, but they did not win a Super Bowl for 10 years after losing both of their coordinators.
After losing both Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss,
right.
I think after the 2004-05 season.
As far as Patricia, I'm okay with that. I mean, maybe the Super Bowl really, I know he's been there forever and they've been good. It was just such a roller coaster with that defense this year. But the Josh McDaniels thing stinks. I was really bummed to hear that. That was kind of a rumor mill flying all in different directions immediately following the Super Bowl, and it's kind of bummed to hear they're losing him.
All this hate about Matt Patricia on our Facebook page, all this hate about Matt Patricia on Twitter.
What were they saying?
They were just saying not a big loss. Belichick's the guy who matters anyways on defense. Look at what they did in the Super Bowl. They gave
I have a tendency to agree with that.
I don't. Look at this. The team, since 2012, when Patricia took over, they've allowed 19.2 points per game, the second best in the league. The second best in the league at points per game allowed, 19.2, only worse than Seattle. So, obviously, he's got something to do with it. And he didn't trade away Jamie Collins. He didn't get Dante Hightower injured. I know every team has injuries to overcome.
Chandler Jones.
He didn't trade Chandler Jones. When you look at the pieces that were taken off of that team in his tenure to still consistently be pretty good, then I got to give the coaching staff some credit there, including Patricia.
Yeah. I think that defense, I think they're in a can't-win situation when you've got Brady on the offensive side of the ball, because you're going to end up giving up a ton of points because they're putting up 40 points every single game. And this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately nation. Let's face it, it's reactionary, and I'm having the same reaction I think a lot of Patriots fans are, and that's that they absolutely stunk defensively in the Super Bowl.
I don't think it's going to be a very good head coach. I really don't. I think
because of his T-shirt.
No, not only the T-shirt. First of all, I know he's a genius. Okay, that aside, the way he carries himself. You know, Charlie Weiss once said this. I don't know if you know that. You know, he almost died going through weight reduction surgery. Yeah, I don't know if you, what do they call
that? Hasn't
like,
worked.
Like, but, what was it? I don't know what they call it back then. But almost died. He said, and it was also the coach of Kansas. I forget his name.
Mangino.
Mangino. That's what it was. That their weight and their size was a detriment against them. And people didn't, I want to say not take them seriously, but kind of, you know, the same thing as with Patricia. He not only is big, but he doesn't dress the part. He's always just looking shabby with the sweatshirt. I've never seen him in a suit. And I don't like that he clowned the commissioner. Right. And that's not what a coach is supposed to do. If you're a coach, that's not the way to act. So I don't know if he's going to be a good coach. And as for X's and O's, I don't know. Only time will tell on that one.
But, I mean, Brady, does that mean anything to you? Because, as you said, he's given up the second fewest points as defensive coordinator. Is that more interesting to you? He could stand out there with nothing on for all you care.
It matters to me. I hated the Barstool Sports Goodell shirt. I think that's totally inappropriate for a guy who wants to be a head coach. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, now he in part represents Goodell, and Goodell part in represents him, you know, as it's a relationship that the league has with the commissioner. I think that's totally inappropriate. Hopefully he's learned from it. As far as what he wears, I don't care so much about what he wears. I care about how he acts with the media. Ben McAdoo tried to look nice and look slick, but he couldn't talk to the media, and people ran him right out of New York. I think as long as you can talk to the media and, with the exception of Belichick, be engaging and be informative about the state of your organization, I think you can do fine.
Wait a minute. You don't care how somebody looks, but yet if you were a CEO and you interviewed 10,000 people and one person didn't show up in a suit and tie and showed up in sweatpants, you would kick them out of your office. Because that's my
point. Doug Peterson wore a windbreaker the other day. He won the Super Bowl. Does that make it okay?
No, but when you're applying for a job, when you're trying to set an image, when you're being looked at by other people and you're clowning the commissioner, I think people do take notice of what you're wearing and said that's inappropriate.
But why? He was not at any point applying for a job during all of that. I guarantee you when he stands on that podium in Michigan, you know, on Thursday or tomorrow, whatever it is, he's going to be wearing a very nice suit.
You're always applying for a job. You're always applying for a job when you're working for the New England Patriots and you're the defensive coordinator. You're always under scrutiny. You're always in front of the camera.
He never wanted to be a head coach until this year.
Do you want me? Somebody wants to know why is the media so focused on Butler? Real quick.
The media is focused on Butler because it's a Super Bowl.
Well, they said if it was any other team, we wouldn't care about that. I disagree.
We live in New England, and the Patriots were in the Super Bowl. So that's why this media is...
And I don't think this story is ever going to conclude. I mean, it's going to go away, just like Deflategate, thank the Lord, did. But, I mean, I think this is, as they said today earlier, it's going to go to the New England Patriots graveyard, never be resolved.
Brady, what's coming up next?
TC, Tom Karen of Nesson, Red Sox, less than a week away from arriving in Fort Myers.
Let's get to that next, right here on 101.3 ESPN. Go.
What crazy thing will Arnie say next? Find out now on The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Guys, right out to the TikTok Jewelers. Guest line joining us now, as he does every week. It's our buddy from Nesson, our Red Sox and Bruin insider. It's Tom Caron. How you doing, TC?
Probably doing, guys.
At least you didn't have to go through any riots that the Patriots didn't win, so there was no overturned cars, climbing up poles, plenty of Crisco around for everybody, so no problems down there in Boston, huh?
Well, you got to act like you've been there before. I mean, we have been there before, so Philly hasn't been there before, so I understand it, I guess.
How are those velvet vocals after a back-to-back last night at the Beanpot?
Back-to-back with two overtimes in the second game.
Yeah.
A little eight-period night. We're okay. Good hockey. Always fun to do the Beanpot. You always get an overtime or double overtime game mixed in there. It wouldn't be the Beanpot without it.
TC, I got to ask you this. What do you remember more about Boston sports radio? The crazy talk being higher after the Malcolm Butler incident or Grady Little and Pedro?
And was that a pun on higher when we were talking about
it was
Malcolm
not.
Butler? Or is that, oh, okay. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. I'd probably say this because there was only one main radio station at the time of Grady Little. And I don't know. We expected crazy things and ridiculous things to happen to the Red Sox back then. This was so unexpected. And to have, you know, I mean, I've often said, has there been a Boston team that has been more Teflon than the Patriots? You know, there's very little criticism of this organization, and rightly so. They've been a model franchise, but they have most of the media in Boston feeding out of their hands. And, you know, for the backlash Monday, the way it all came down and the questions about Belichick, and it was just, you know, and it seems to me, I don't know about you guys, you're in the chairs, but it's even picking up steam today. Like, it hasn't let up 48 hours later, and it's almost more of a witch hunt. People are demanding answers. Obviously, Belichick isn't giving any answers, and you got to think eventually we're going to learn a little more about this, right?
Right. I'm sure we will. The Patriots, of course, they get to the Super Bowl. Celtics have a good chance, a decent chance to get to the championship. Bruins are looking good. When's the last time the Red Sox started the season as the number four team out there, TC?
Number four, as far as expectations, I think that's probably fair, although I still say the Red Sox are a playoff team. They're just, you know, not. I don't think they're as good going into the season as the Yankees are. I don't think that's a hot take. I think everybody agrees with that, but that could change with one signing. The Celtic-Bruin thing kind of comes out of nowhere. Celtics, I think we expected it a little bit.
Yep.
I think the surprising thing there is the free fall of the Cavaliers. I don't think we saw that coming as quickly as it's happened. And then for the Bruins, we didn't see it coming. We knew they were rebuilding. I thought they were a playoff team, but you're talking about legitimately. I mean, 48 hours from now, they could be the number one team in the Eastern Conference with a lot of young players. And still more coming up the pipeline. I mean, I watched Ryan Donato, who you're going to see play in the Olympics, a Harvard player last night, leading NCAA in goal scoring. He was a second-round draft pick of the Bruins and might join them by the end of this season. So Don Sweeney took some criticism. A lot of people here calling for his firing 2 years ago. But I'll tell you what, they get the right coach in there for a young team. They get the right young players going. It's been a long time. I was saying this yesterday that the Garden, back in the old days, you know, every spring you had the Celtics and Bruins going deep into the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that. We're almost every other night, one of the teams is playing every night. So you could have something like that in April and May, which could be fun.
I mean,
and that's good, because then you won't have to pay attention to the Red Sox 2 months into the season. And hopefully by then they'll sign J.D. Martinez.
No, but yeah, okay, and I'll go in that direction then. Do you think the Todd Frazier signing yesterday from the Mets, which kind of seemed to come out of nowhere, might get the ball rolling a little bit?
Yeah, I don't think J.D. Martinez was waiting for Todd Frazier to set the market. I do think any little signing kind of opens up, you know, the logjam a little bit. But now, now you get Tony Clark sort of throwing statements out against the owners, and another one today, and the Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, countered with a statement of his own an hour or two ago in response. I mean, it's getting testy. This whole slow winter thing has gone from, hey, it's collusion, to, wow, now, you know, there were talk over the weekend, if you paid attention, talking about, you know, hey, we should boycott spring training. You can't boycott spring training. You're in the middle of a five-year collective bargaining agreement. I mean, I don't know. The players suddenly don't seem to have their act together. The union isn't very unionized right now. There seem to be a lot of different voices going in a lot of different directions, and it'll be interesting to see where this all plays out.
Tom Caron of Nesson with us here, as he is every week at this time, right here on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. You talk about that war of words between the Players Association and between the league office. You mentioned the five-year collective bargaining agreement. That leads me to believe everything has to be okay, but are we in any jeopardy of any kind of work stoppage? Because that is the thing that we'd all be worried about.
Well, I don't think you could really have one until the end of the CBA. So you got four more seasons before that happens, and I would hope that they figure out common ground. Listen, the other shoe that hasn't fallen yet, as it were the pace of game stuff that Rob Manfred can drop in unilaterally before the season starts. And he tried to get the players to buy into a pitch clock and fewer mound visits. They said no. And so now he's dropped the proposal on the table that, okay, here's the deal. If you don't get it down to 225 on average this year, then we make it even shorter pitch clock next year. And he's trying to get them to buy into that, and then he wants it down to 250 the year after that as an average time. So, you know, right now the players are kind of on the ropes, and Manfred isn't backing off. So could we see it after the four seasons remaining? Absolutely. But you can't. I mean, they just signed this deal a year ago.
Yeah.
A year ago at this point, I don't even know if they had officially signed it yet, you know, if they had ratified it. It was right before spring training a year ago. And for all the lip service the union paid about, you know, they want a floor as well as a ceiling, right? They want the teams that aren't very competitive to have to spend a minimum amount on payroll every year, which makes perfect sense. But they didn't get it done. They didn't even try, from what I understand. They didn't even push it. There was talk about a 26th player. I think the owners, from what I've heard from some owners, I think the owners were willing to let them add a player to the 25-man roster in exchange for getting rid of the stupid 40-man roster in September. But the players, the union didn't push for that.
Yeah.
You're complaining a year later. I mean, we've all entered bad arrangements, and you have that remorse. But year, you know, 1.5 out of a five-year deal is not the time to complain about it. You got to sort of go your separate ways and come back swinging in 3 years. So it's really a mess for them to be this unhappy right now. And obviously that's because of all those guys who are sitting out there on top.
I just answered a question for you. Chris and Virgens on the Tom Fertitta text line says, please ask TC what one free agent we could sign that would make it better than the Yankees. And I just said none. So I just answered that.
That's not true. JD Martinez, I really do believe, he's got a 40 home run power last year. Complements the lineup very well. The Red Sox still have better pitching than the Yankees. So
wow. You
got Martinez back into the... Well, that's not a hot take. I mean, is it? You know, they underachieved last year and had one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. Porcello had a horrible year.
Yeah.
And Price was injured most of the year. They didn't have Carson Smith all year. They didn't have Tyler Thornburg all year. And they didn't have Steven Wright all year. So, I mean, you talk about, you know, five guys right there who should have better years this year, along with Sale pitching well. I don't know if it's fair to expect Pomeranz to be better, but I think it'll be good. So the pitching should be even better than a year ago. You drop Martinez in that lineup, it's still not as good a lineup as the Yankees, but it is good enough with that pitching to win a lot of baseball games. So give me one big hitter. Drop a guy in that lineup, and I think you're going to feel pretty good about it.
Any chance Moustakas comes back into the picture, maybe move Devers over to first if the J.D. Martinez thing falls through?
It's an interesting thing and a question. If it wasn't that Moustakas was also represented by Scott Boras, I'd say there's a great plan B, you know, back right into that. But I don't know if you can get a deal done with Boras when he's the guy holding the keys to J.D. Martinez.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I worry a little bit about. I worry a little bit about Moustakas sliding over to New York at the last. If I'm Brian Cashman, I'll tell you what, if I could grab him for somewhat cheap at the end of this whole frenzy and drop him into a seventh spot in my lineup and play third base with that kind of power ahead of him. This guy, you know, he's got 30 home run power, and you could drop him on the back end of that lineup for the Yankees, and all of a sudden I'd be terrified if I were pitching to them. So where he ends up could be pretty important when it's all said and done.
TC, regardless of whether it's Moustakas or not, I made that point a month ago. If people are convinced that Devers is never going to be a great third baseman, why not just move him to first base now? Or if not this year, the next year when Hanley's gone. But why not start that transition soon? I would be looking at third baseman if I'm the Sox, even if it's not Moustakas.
See, but I think they actually believe, I think the organization still believes that he can be an adequate, if not slightly better than adequate, major league third baseman. The same question surrounded Bogaerts, and while I thought he had a little bit of a step back defensively this year, he's become an average to slightly above average major league shortstop, you know, with the offense that makes him a very good shortstop. I think that's how they look at Devers. I think they believe, you know, he can get in better shape, be a little more fit, as it were, and I think they believe he can learn the position. Much like, you know, go way back, Wade Boggs was an awful defender when he came up. And he went out there and, you know, worked with Johnny Pesky every day until he ultimately won a Gold Glove.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Devers going to ever win a Gold Glove, but I think they do believe they can help him learn the position and become even better, because some of the metrics last year when he was in the minors had him as one of the better defensive third basemen in AA before the quick rise up. So we'll see, but I don't think they're ready to give up on him yet.
DC, as for spring training in Fort Myers, for any of our listeners who are going down, how do the Red Sox do spring training? Is it a fun fan experience at the games?
Yeah.
We got cheap hot dogs. What are we doing here if we go
and
down?
And by the way, Rich is cheating on you. I didn't want to say that, but he's going on vacation. He's going to Arizona spring training instead of coming down to Florida spring training.
Enough of Florida.
All right, so I will say this. Fort Myers is great if you're a Red Sox fan. If you're a baseball fan, Arizona's better. So
wow!
Absolutely.
Because, every ballpark is within an hour.
Yeah.
You can stay in downtown Phoenix and be 45 minutes to every single spring training location. If you're in Fort Myers, you know, you got 3-hour trips over to the East Coast. For Red Sox fans, the new ballpark, it's not that new anymore, but JetBlue Park is a great take. As you've seen on TV, probably the dimensions are exactly like Fenway Park. They get a green monster, they get the triangle, they get all that. And they've got the six field complex behind it. It all starts Wednesday's the first workout next week, a week from tomorrow. And I always tell people, you know, school vacation week, I think it's the week after that, and it's a great time to go down. There's no games until the end of the week, but the workouts are pretty fun. You watch batting practice, you watch guys do their drills, there's a lot of little competitions going on in the drills, and the players are real accessible. It's a good chance to get autographs. You can walk around from field to field and watch everybody go. And you know, then the games start a week from Thursday with a doubleheader against Boston College and Northeastern and the college teams. So it's a good take. It used to be the old ballpark was kind of a mess because it was 2 miles from the minor league facility and you had to park at one place and get a ride to the other place on a shuttle bus. But now everything's right there at JetBlue. It's right near the airport. It's a really good take. It rivals most of the individual complexes out in Arizona as one of the better spring training complexes. And when I talk to you next week, I will be there wearing
nice. I remember it was freezing here last year when he was down there. We were so aggravated about that.
I hope it is again. I hope it's 20 below next week for you guys.
TC, always a pleasure, man. Have fun. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, we'll be talking to you from Florida, so good luck.
You got it. Take care. Tom Caron, everybody. Yeah, it was freezing here last week. Last year. I remember. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but the other thing, too, to think about is that Arizona is, the weather is much more of a guarantee. It's sunny and 80 every single day.
Well, I just wanted him to be mad at you.
Florida can be
in
the 40s and 50s with some showers this time of year. Not every day.
By the way, Christopher Jen says, Artie is correct. None.
On what?
That you can sign. They would be better than the Yankees. We'll come back. Gone but not forgotten. And I got a couple of good ones. One that is also on a breaking story. So that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN. Go.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, gone but not forgotten, our first person, legendary, Arthur Ashe, passed away in 1993, 43 years old, of complication from AIDS and a blood transfusion, one of the first to come out and pass away from that disease from a blood transfusion, 43 years old and one of the best tennis players ever. I was going to say ever. What are the top tennis players? I don't know about ever.
One of the top humans ever.
Yeah, and yeah. I think great, great guy. Great
his legacy continues to live on in so
absolutely,
many different ways.
Absolutely. And the second one was Gone But Not Forgotten is Rob Gronkowski's stuff.
That's cold.
Wait a minute.
Can you let the paint dry?
According to TMZ, they got the call as Rob Gronkowski. I don't know how they get all. Can you just get the 911 calls just like that? I guess they got the 911 call. He goes, this is not an emergency. This is Rob Gronkowski. They robbed my whole house. They robbed the whole house. They didn't get into his bedroom. The bedroom was locked. I don't know what you lock your bedroom.
If you took the safe, you couldn't get into the bedroom.
You could get into the bedroom. But he does have two roommates and their rooms. I don't know. I don't know why you need a roommate. Maybe he needs rent money. But
Rob Gronkowski has roommates?
Two roommates.
Do you think they do any partying?
I don't know. These two guys, I'm sure he put an ad on Craigslist looking for two roommates, and two guys showed up, and their rooms got burglarized, but not Gronk's. Gronk would not release, on the 911 call, they would not release any of the stuff that was stolen. But the police are on the lookout for a lot of Patriot stuff, to be honest with you.
There's a lot of questions about everything to do with the Patriots over the last 48 hours or so. Gone but not forgotten, $50,000 out of the very ample wallet of Magic Johnson.
Well, I'm sure the Lakers will pay that.
I mean, this is a strange one. The Lakers got fined $50,000 because Magic Johnson praised Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That's because he wants him on the team next year.
He just said he was drawing comparisons. Yeah. They were saying, so do you see a lot of you in him when you watch him play? And he basically said yes.
Yeah, because he didn't have to answer. He did, because he wants him on the team next year.
But I mean, he gets hit with $50,000 for
on
saying
purpose.
Yes. He's
on purpose,
sort of like me.
Tampering.
Because he's tampering and he wants him on the team. That's right. And he knew better because they already fined him once. Who did he talk about last time? I forgot who. And they said you can't do that. They fined him more
Paul
than
George?
It might have been more than $50,000.
Yeah, Paul George.
He knows exactly what he's doing. He wants the money.
$100,000.
Yeah, there you go. So,
Paul George.
Ba-boom! He wants to
cha-ching. Get $50,000 just for pronouncing the guy's name right.
You would have think you would have learned after the $500,000, but he knows what he's doing.
My God, but not forgotten. How about John Mahoney, the beloved dad on Frasier? He died at the age of 77. Man, that stinks.
That's not that old.
Frasier is a show that, like, whenever it's on, I always watch it, but I never have watched it all the way through.
No.
But set in Seattle, you know, I love that.
I got
and
more,
radio, love that too.
Well, I got more into not the Frasier show, but the Cheers.
Yeah,
yeah, that was my thing. After that, I didn't really get to the spinoff of Frasier.
You know the guy, David Hyde Pierce, who was in that show?
Yes, I think he was the brother, Niles.
Yes, Niles. He was the owner of what was then just called Star 92.9.
Get out of here.
He worked in this building.
Wow.
Get out of here.
Yeah, for years.
Did you call him Niles? Oh, he wasn't Niles back then.
I wasn't here at that time.
Could you imagine? I always, if I see an actor, I call him by their TV name. So, I always say that they hate
it's
that.
It's too bad, because it's funny, because you hear the name John Mahoney, and it's like, oh, who's he? I've never heard of him. Then you see a picture of him and go, oh, that guy.
There's another famous John Mahoney. Isn't that the ventriloquist or something like that?
The what?
The ventriloquist?
Yeah, you know, that speaks without moving your lips. What do they call that? Isn't that a ventriloquist or something?
Okay, there you go. John Mahoney, the ventriloquist.
Something like that. Hour one in the books. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. Matt Verderam broke down the film. What did he see in the Super Bowl? That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, how do you deal with this guy? It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Of course, all accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. Hour two of the show. You got a correction to make? Or
what you do. We both screwed up in the last 2 minutes.
Well, I said, isn't that the ventriloquist? It's
Jerry Mahoney.
Jerry, I told you somebody Mahoney was a ventriloquist.
Paul Winchell.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You see that? I'm not a moron. I know what I'm talking about.
And believe
it
or not, that was so long ago, neither of us were alive.
But I can't believe I pulled that out of my backside, though.
And the other thing is it wasn't David Hyde Pierce who ran the show here in this building at the old WEZF. It was Tom Pierce, who I believe was his brother. So there you go. Everything's
wow. So the Frasier character did not live in this building.
No,
not
he didn't. His brother did.
Oh, yeah. Screwed that up.
Wow.
Well,
big difference between the guy and his brother.
Meanwhile, you've got John Mahoney as the ventriloquist.
Nobody knows the difference between John Mahoney, Jerry Mahoney, or any Mahoney.
Tom Pierce, too.
Unbelievable.
Except obviously someone knew.
Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he's done all football season long, from NFL, our NFL director at fansided.com, it's Matt Verderam. How you doing, Matt?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Well, I could imagine there must have been more different angles and different plays you must have looked at. What a Super Bowl with all just different just scenarios. It must have been a lot of fun to watch that film.
Yeah, it was. That was one of the more creative game plans I can remember seeing in a long time, certainly in a Super Bowl, let alone really even in any game. I thought the Eagles were aggressive. They took chances. And if some of those plays that were maybe, you know, real big risks for Peterson, if they don't go right, there's a different outcome. But give the Eagles credit. They executed almost flawlessly, especially obviously on offense, and found a way to win the game.
That being said, Matt, I mean, you look at how good and highly efficient that Eagles offense was. What kind of a difference, based on what you saw on the tape, would Malcolm Butler have made?
Oh, I honestly think they made the difference in the game. I really do. They could not cover throughout the game. And look, I give Foles a lot of credit. He made a couple of great throws in that game. I know there was an argument with Corey Clement whether it should have been a touchdown or should have been overturned. But, you know, it's a beautiful throw. Made a couple of great throws to Jeffrey throughout the game. And so maybe those throws, Butler doesn't make a difference. But if you looked at that game, Eric Rowe got torched over and over. I mean, they went at him early and often. I thought Gilmore actually played a relatively good game, but without that second corner, his impact was really mitigated quite a bit. I think Butler in the game certainly makes a very significant difference. I cannot believe they did not insert him into the lineup at some point.
A lot of fans not sad to see Matt Patricia go, not sad to see him go to Detroit. I defend him and say, well, look, he didn't trade away Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, and get Dante Hightower hurt. He's won two Super Bowls as defensive coordinator, been to three, and they're number two in the league in points allowed per game since he took over. Are they going to miss Matt Patricia? What's your read on him?
Listen, I think Patricia at times has been good, but I've said a lot on this show and to you guys, you know, I don't think he's done a great job this year. I think they've been an easy team to move the ball on. Now, to be fair to him, I will say this. I also think they have one of the worst front sevens in the NFL, and it's been masked a lot by they get big leads in games because Brady scores 30-some-odd points, and that makes it very easy to play defense. It is a lot harder when you're in a game like they were in Sunday where you don't have that lead and you've got to play very balanced. And so I think, to be fair to them, the talent wasn't necessarily there, especially with Butler on the sideline. But I don't think he made the requisite adjustments. They did not try to do many things differently in that game, and I think sometimes that's been a story with him. I don't think they're going to miss him very much. I think they'll be fine as long as Belichick's there, because frankly, I think it's his defense anyway.
Matt, let's talk about individual plays. The Nick Foles touchdown catch, was that an illegal formation? I know that the wideout looked at the referee and they said he gave him the okay, but was that an illegal formation?
I thought it was okay. I didn't see, it was close. I can understand why there were some arguments there as to whether or not he's on the line of scrimmage. I thought the play was all right. The hard part for that is really with the officials. It's so quick in real time, and it's so unorthodox that it's very hard. Now, you have to be set for 1 second before the play begins, but I think they were set. I don't think he was moving. I thought the line of scrimmage was covered correctly. I don't think it was a penalty. I think it was wonderful execution. And look, if that play doesn't work, Philadelphia is crushing Doug Peterson. But it did work. And so at the end of the day, it's one of the best calls in NFL history. If that doesn't go right, they are just vilifying Peterson today. That's the way it goes.
What about just talking about that Pats offense and the way they approached it. I mean, you know, last year we saw what James White did in Super Bowl 51. You got Burkhead, who had 146-yard catch. Lewis, not much. White, not much. I mean, why did that not exist on Sunday when everybody saw it coming?
I was surprised, to be blunt. I thought they would throw the ball to the backs more. Now, it's hard to complain. New England ended up with over 600 yards of offense, 505 passing yards. But they tried some screens earlier in the game, and Philadelphia was ready and waiting for them. And so I think that kind of spooked McDaniels, and he maybe said, look, you know what, if they're going to key on that, let's go down the field, utilize your tight ends and receivers. And, of course, Brandon Cooks going out early in the game hurt as well. They just don't have anybody else like him to stretch the field. And they're going to have to make a lot of decisions this offseason. I assume Gronk is not going to retire. But they're going to have to make some real critical decisions on what they're going to do with this running back situation and if they're going to try to add another receiver. Because, frankly, Amendola's probably moving on, and Chris Hogan is fine, but I think they can do better than that.
Why do you think Amendola's moving on? We know he's Tom Brady's guy. We've seen it all over Tom versus time. They're incredibly close. He's been incredibly productive. As long as the money doesn't become too much, why do you say that?
You know what? I think it's either got to be him or Edelman. I think it makes sense to go with one of them because they're going to have to invest money in this defense. This defense is awful. And look, I understand the statistics don't necessarily show that the last 12 weeks of the regular season. Look at the offenses they played most of those weeks. They played teams that could not execute. They couldn't move the football. It was going to come to roost at some point. They were going to get beat for a lot of yards and a lot of points and happen at the worst time. I think if you look at that roster, they need to invest every dime they possibly can into fixing that defense because Butler is gone. He's not coming back. You're going to have to get somebody else in there. I think that was evident from the Super Bowl. And that front seven, look, Hightower comes back from injury, but you got to add some pass rushers, and those aren't cheap. So I think you probably go a little lighter on the receivers. Maybe you draft a couple guys, and maybe Amendola hits the skids.
Corey Clement, touchdown, no touchdown. He got both feet in. The ball moved, but that doesn't mean he didn't have possession. The third step went out of bounds. What did the film show on that one?
I thought that Clement was out of bounds.
I
thought it in real time, and I thought it watching the film. First of all, let me say this. Okay, in a normal world where a catch is a catch, it's a touchdown. But by NFL rules, I thought that the ball moved, and by the time you got a second foot down, once you had possession, that his foot was out of bounds. So if I was the official, I would have said it was an incomplete pass. The Ertz one, I thought he was in. I don't understand the controversy over that. I feel like the Ertz one is pretty cut and dry.
Right.
Touchdown.
I did too.
But the Clement one, I don't think it was an egregious call, but I think by the way we've seen the NFL calling these plays, I would have called it incomplete.
What about on the Hail Mary to end the game? The more I watch the replay, the more my blood boils about the Chris Hogan hit
was
at the 30-yard line or whatever.
I mean, let's put it this way. On Hail Mary, you basically have to mug somebody with a ski mask on to get
yes,
called.
Yes, I said the same thing.
I can't think of a time where I've ever seen pass interference calls. I know there have been a handful of times.
I was just about to ask you, how many times on film have you seen pass interference on a Hail Mary?
Well, I mean, I've never seen it called. I've seen it just about every single time. I mean, let's say if you're a defender in that situation, you're in the middle of a group like that, you're pretty much taught to just tear the guy to the ground. They're not going to call it. So I think, was there interference? It probably was. There's probably interference on four different guys on that play. But that's just, I mean, when you get in that situation, you know, the official is not going to take the game away from the players on that kind of a play.
But the fact that the ball wouldn't have been first and goal at the one, does that make any difference?
You could argue it. I just think at that juncture, it's almost an unspoken rule. Like, hey, look, we're going to let the boys play. And if you know, you get taken down, well, that's the way it goes. I'm not saying that's right. But I think there is some level of it's a Hail Mary, kind of a free-for-all. At the end of the day, I think if you're New England, you got to just be sick from the standpoint of you got an all-time performance from, in my opinion, the greatest quarterback ever. And you walk away losing because your defense gives up 41 points with your Pro Bowl corner sitting on the sideline. I know he had a little bit of a down year, and he didn't play as well as he has in years past. But I'll tell you, after watching Eric Rowe for about a quarter of that game, how they didn't put him in, I don't care what he did. I don't care what the reasons are. You're in the Super Bowl. And to bench that guy, that's a bad luck. That's a little bit of a Nick and Belichick's legacy.
Matt Verderam, NFL Director, Fansided.com. You talk about some of the guys you think the Pats might lose. Well, of that robust free agent class that they have, who should they be keying on bringing back?
I would have said Butler, but I think that ship sailed. So I think he moves on. Look, I think Solder's a guy you bring back. He's a good left tackle. He's been in that offense a long time. I think Brady's confident in him. I would try to bring him back. I would try to bring Deion Lewis back. I think he's important. I think he matters. I think he's a big part of that offense. I know he wasn't on Sunday, but he typically is. And I think he's an important, versatile guy, and we know how much they value versatility. Beyond that, it's not that I wouldn't, you know, look, I think Amendola can obviously still play. I think guys, you know, like Brent Burke can play, but I would have a price tag in mind if they exceed it. Thanks for playing here. They need to go out and really, like, significantly spend money on their front seven. If they don't fix that, they're going to have a hard time getting back to the Super Bowl because it is one of the worst three or four front sevens in football.
On the Brady last series, that fumble slash interception, I don't know, I didn't get to see the slow-mo. You watch film. Did that ever hit the ground? Didn't it hit the Philadelphia foot, the guy's foot, and pop up? Or I thought that should have been an interception. What did the film show on that one?
You know, I thought, from what I saw, I thought it was a fumble. I got to be honest, though. I didn't look that close because in my head, it didn't matter. At that point, it didn't matter if it was a fumble or a pick. I think from what I saw, I thought it was a fumble. So, you know what? And I love these people who give Brady a problem for that. Like, it's his fault that he got strip sacked. Look, Brady, you know, you could say, hey, he missed a guy here and there. The man threw for 505 yards and three touchdowns, and your backup right tackle got shoved into him. I mean, at the end of the day, can't blame him. You got to blame the defense that gave up over 500 yards.
I was yelling, Tuck Rule 2, don't do that to me. Tuck Rule 2, they're going to do that to me.
Hey, Matt, you're a Chiefs fan. I mean, you happy about the Alex Smith trade?
First of all, you're going to throw that in my face? I thought the Chiefs got a great deal, frankly, and I think it speaks more to Washington's dysfunction than anything else. You know, Smith is 34 years old this offseason, and the Chiefs get a third-round pick, which, okay, fine. But they got Kendall Fuller, who Pro Football Focus ranked as the number one slot corner in the league, and my analysis of him, I would agree. Any film I watched of him, highly impressed, and that's a kid who's 22. He's on a rookie deal. And the Redskins gave that kid away and the third-round pick. Now they don't get to keep Cousins, who's 4 years younger than Smith, and they turn around and give Smith $71 million guaranteed. I don't understand it. I actually like Alex Smith more than some other people, but Alex Smith is a pretty, you know, maybe the 14th, 15th best quarterback in the NFL. You're going to hit your wagon until he's 38 years old. Seemed aggressive. I thought the Chiefs did a really nice job of getting a good return.
Matt, biggest thing you'll pay attention to this offseason?
I think you got to say where Kirk Cousins is going to go, right? I mean, that's, you know, how often does a 30-year-old quarterback at the market, who's one of the better guys in the league, you know, I think that's interesting. And frankly, you know, Brady the Seahawks, I'm very curious to see what they do. Do they try to bring back this core, or do they let everybody walk? Do they cut Sherman? What happens with Earl Thomas? Do Chancellor and Averill just retire because they can't physically play? What happens with Jimmy Graham and Sheldon Richardson? Seattle's been such a gold standard in the league for a long time. And I wonder if, with the coaching changes and everything else, if this is a rebuild year and they start to go young and build that team around Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner.
All right. He's the NFL director at fansided.com. Matt, great year, man. You've been awesome all year long for us during the NFL. So enjoy some time off. You going on vacation anywhere or what?
Not until spring. In the spring, I'll be back in New York where I grew up for about a month. So that'll be nice.
Good for you, my friend. Good for you. Well, anyway.
Hey, he's going to New York. I'll go to New York and we'll hang out again.
Yeah,
man.
I was going
to
say,
now,
when you come up here, Rich will take you out to dinner. So
sure,
it's
we'll
on
watch
Rich.
We'll watch some film.
Yeah, listen, I'll hold you to it. I'll take a free dinner.
You got it. Matt, thank you very much, buddy. We'll catch up with you later on.
Hey, thank you very much, guys.
Take care. Matt Verderam, NFL director at fansided.com. That's fansided.com. You want to go ahead and maybe check it on out if you've never been to fansided.com.
Yeah, we'll go down to RJ's and watch some film.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That'd be nice,
have
man.
A couple of beers.
We'll put the film up on the big screen.
You know, I wasn't kidding about that. The only reason I made such a big deal about whether that was a fumble or interception, I yelled when I was working on the air that during the game, I yelled out, Tuck Rule 2. Tuck Rule 2, they're going to – I don't even know what the official Tuck Rule is, but I go, can you see them calling that again? Where they say, no, he was throwing it. It's a Tuck Rule 2 and getting away with that.
It would have almost been worth it as a Pats fan not to have to deal with that.
Let me ask you a quick question. Had the Patriots lost the Super Bowl last year to Atlanta, do you think their decisions on what they would do for this upcoming year, coming off two Super Bowl losses, would be any different than going 1-1 in the Super Bowls?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
Really?
I do. Yeah.
I mean, you made the back-to-backs. I mean, the Bills made the four straight Super Bowls. They didn't make really wholesale changes.
Yeah, but the Bills were on the ascension. The Patriots, I'm not going to say they're on the decline, but they're a more aging roster than that Bills team was in a lot of ways. Yeah. So you have to decide, okay, what are we going to do with Brady? Would we have traded Garoppolo if we had lost that Super Bowl last year? Because we don't know what's going to happen
this season. That's true. You know,
Yes, I think it would have been different. We're going to draft differently if we had lost and if we had won. I think it would be different.
For up to, also this upcoming year, after the second Super Bowl loss, too.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, we want to get a little bit into that next. What's coming up next segment?
Coming up next, what do we think the Patriots need to do with their free agents? We talked about how they're going to change on the coaching staff. How about on the free agents?
I let them all go. Every one of them. Every single one of them. Every damn one.
Blow it all up.
Everyone.
They'll still go 11-5.
Goodbye. Is Burkett a free agent? Restricted free agent?
Yes.
Goodbye. Yeah, goodbye. All that coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right. Break time is over. Back to the best sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie. Only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Moving around, make a bunch of noise. No big deal. Matt Verderin, want to thank him. Brady, where are you going to go ahead and be tomorrow night? Because it's trivia night tomorrow.
Trivia night at the City Sports Grill. I know it's supposed to snow, you just heard. But, hey, drive carefully, drive responsibly. We've got half-price burgers as a reward waiting for you when you
get
there. And tons of swag.
I'm gonna try to make up some more specials, too. They have so much good food out there. So come on by City Sports Grill, starting, what, 7:30 about?
7:30 to 9:30.
Awesome. All right, Brady, what is the normal amount of unrestricted free agents a team usually has at the end of one given year? I mean, is it usually like about 10, 15? Is it 5? Does it vary?
It varies, but I would say it's between 8 and 15 probably.
Right, because I was going to say it seemed like it was just about normal amount of unrestricted free agents that the Patriots have right now. I think it's like about 12 or something like that.
Yeah, the key is which players are the free agents. It's not always about quantity, it's quality, and there are some good names on here that you would
is
hate
there?
To lose.
I didn't know that. I can you point them out to me?
Yeah.
I'm not sure which ones you're talking
Nate
about.
I would put Nate Solder on that list.
Okay.
I would put Amendola on that list, although
I don't need Amendola.
What's that?
I don't need him.
Really? After the performance he just put on for the last month of the season in the playoffs?
How much is he going to... See, this is the problem.
I understand.
You want him back, that's fine. If we're just going to argue whether you want him back, that's fine. All right, I'll take him back. But now we have to throw in the price. And how much is he going to come with that price tag? And I guarantee you, I'm not going to like that price tag.
And will it work financially with Edelman coming back? No, I understand that. But, man, you look at I'm just saying out of my heart as a Patriots fan.
Okay,
you look
I can
at
understand
him, you just,
that.
I would say Deion Lewis, although I don't know. I mean, is he gone? They paid James White a bundle to stick around for a few more years, and it didn't seem like he really did a lot this year.
Well, number one, on Amendola, Arnie, he only made $1.25 million this year.
Right.
He's taken a pay cut each of the last 3 years to stay in New England.
He's not taking it now.
So even if, just say he wants a raise. He wants $2 million instead of $1.25 million. He's 32 years old. He's not getting a four-year, $20 million deal.
If you were Danny Amendola, which is why I'm not taking him, but if you were Danny Amendola, do you think he's asking for $2 million a year?
He's not getting 4 years and $20 million.
Don't be so sure.
If there's any guy in this team that will take a hometown discount, I believe it's him.
I agree there. Now, let's see what the discount is, but I think there's some teams that would give him some type of money like that. First of all, 4 year, $20 million doesn't even seem like a lot of money, does it?
It does for a 32-year-old receiver that's been in the league for a decade and has missed a number of games with injuries.
All right, so then you're going to agree with me that if somebody offered him a 4 year, $20 million, you're
saying
no.
I would never match that if I were the Patriots.
Okay, so I get it. It depends.
If he wanted a slight raise to $3.5 million, then maybe I could consider it for 1 year. But
it's not even the money. I mean, again, I don't know what they're going to do in the draft. I kind of would like to start grooming some youngsters at the wide receiver. Give me a rookie I could put in that I'm going to take in the second or third round or something like that, you know?
Well, I hope they just go defense across. I really do. And obviously the quarterback question is going to come in as well at some point, one of these decades. But I don't know. If I'm Amendola, if there's 1 year I'm looking at jumping, it would be this one. I mean, when is his value going to be any higher than what he just did in the playoffs?
His value is not going to be higher, and the stability is not going to be what it's been. And for a guy who is at the end of his career, who's already won rings, if he's looking for something else, then this would be the time to jump ship because the stability in the organization just isn't there. We don't know how Kraft and Belichick's relationship is. We know that McDaniels isn't there. We know that Patricia's not there. We know there's going to be some learning curves there for a new offensive coordinator. Now, maybe it's Chad O'Shea, who's the wide receiver coach, who Amendola already knows and knows well. So maybe that entices him to stay if he likes O'Shea. But I think Amendola, he just is so you know, he so loves the relationship with Brady, and that's been so evident in the Tom versus time stuff. I think he definitely would want to stay. As for Lewis, as I told you yesterday, and you guys blew it off, I have a source who has told me he wants a big money deal. And at 27 years old.
Yeah. Oh, he'll get it.
At 20, not from the Patriots,
no,
he won't.
No, not from the Patriots, but he'll get it.
He'll get it. Not from the, you're damn right he's not getting it from the Patriots. Go ahead, Brady. I'm
so sorry. I think Lewis is very, very real possibility gone. And I think Burkhead's gone. So I think you're looking at a James White and Mike Gillisley backfield right now with a signee or a draft pick playing a prominent role.
I'm getting myself a running back. Remember, I've always said if you got six running backs, you don't have one, and they still don't have one. So I'm getting myself a running back. And don't pass on the possibility. I really believe that the Patriots have to go ahead and draft a quarterback.
They
late in the game. I'm thinking like a Mason Rudolph, the kid from Oklahoma State. They could take like deep in the draft, a good kid, something like that.
Did you enjoy – let me just ask you this, and Rich, well, just humor me on this.
Yes.
Arnie, did you enjoy watching the Eagles offense on Sunday?
Did I enjoy watching the Eagles offense on Sunday? In what way, though? I
mean, did you enjoy the performance the Eagles offense had, putting up 41 points?
Well, they dinked and dunked a lot, and they looked a lot like the Patriots.
Did they have a good offense?
No, not this year they didn't. They just happened to have a good offense that game, but not this year.
They ran for 150 yards on Sunday.
Yes.
They threw for more than 340.
Yes.
And you know how they did that? With three running backs.
Right.
With Jay Ajayi, LeGarrette Blount.
Jay Ajayi's a very good running back.
And Corey Clement. Well, they used all three of them, and they used all three of them prominently. So don't tell me if you have six running backs, you have zero, because the Eagles just won the Super Bowl with three doing all distinctively different things.
Yeah, but the problem is there, first of all, it was two, really, because one got 14 carries, the other one nine. I'm not going to do a one here, one there. I could see you going with a two-back system, but still one is going to get the majority of the carries and something like that. And LeGarrette Blount, that was more of a surprise than anything. Mm-hmm. I thought Jay Ajayi was going to get the majority of his carry, which is why they traded for somebody like that.
Yeah, as if it didn't hurt enough. You know, there's LeGarrette Blount just running all over the field.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good game.
But back to the list. I mean, you know, the guy I mentioned was Nate Solder, and I think it's going to be – the ball is kind of in his court. I think he's a very key guy to bring back.
29 years old,
He's 29, but he's been around for quite a while. He's had some health scares. Obviously, his son has had some major health scares, his two-year-old kid. And that may just take him away from the game, and nobody would blame him.
No, nobody would blame him. As far as for the Patriots' needs, you know, and it's hard to just say it's about the Patriots because of the, you know, the family situation that he is in. But we talked last year, when the Pats won the Super Bowl against Atlanta, that offensive line played more than 90% of the snaps together. That was one unit that was cohesive and healthy, and Solder's a big part of that. This year, we didn't have that. Solder missed time. Yeah. You had Waddle missing time. Fleming was in and out of the lineup. That cohesion wasn't there on the line. If Solder's healthy and you're confident he'll be healthy, then that's somebody that Brady will trust back there, and I think that's important because ultimately protecting Brady is what keeps this team in line.
Yeah, I think there's a big drop-off once you get to Waddle and Fleming, and that showed when he was hurt.
By the way, both of them are free agents.
There's some good running backs in the draft. I don't know where they're going to last or where they're going to fall. If you're looking at some of these running backs in like the third or fourth round, Nick Chubb out of Georgia, we saw that in there. Sony Michel also is another one. And the one I like that a lot of people don't get to see, but one of our hosts works down in San Diego, the running back for San Diego State, who is just Rashard Penny, who broke all kinds of records. He is awesome. Bo Scarborough out of Alabama is going to be maybe like a fourth or fifth.
Ronald Jones of USC.
He's early. He's like the third or fourth best running back in the
I talked to him pretty extensively at the at Radio Row.
Yeah, there's some really L.J. Scott from Michigan State, who's – I don't even know if he's going to get drafted. Mm-hmm. There's some major running back. So I'd like to see the Patriots do something like that.
Yeah, I agree, but not with a top – I mean, not with San Francisco's pick, not with their
These are people –
we're talking fifth and sixth round guys because
but
that's
there's
not
a lot of good ones, though. That's what they need.
No, but I can't agree more than how I feel with Matt Verderan about that. I mean, there was – absolutely no pass rush in that Super Bowl, and I think that had a major play in winning and losing that game.
What's tough for the Patriots is that you have said, and Matt said, well, every ounce of money you have should be spent on that defense. But when you look at this lineup here, a lot of these guys that are free agents are offensive players that are going to need to either be re-signed costing money or replaced costing money or draft picks. Bolden, offensive player. Fleming, offensive player. Amendola, offense. Lewis, offense. Waddle, offense. Matt Slater, listed his offense. Solder, Burkhead, those guys are all offensive players that either need to be re-signed or replaced in some way.
Yeah, well,
so you can't just toss every dollar you have at the defense because right. You have seven at least offensive players there that are going to cost you something.
But you still can't also re-sign all your free agents because you don't have enough money for everybody. You got to bring up some of the youngsters, the rookies, undrafted free agents up the ranks. That's what football's about with these undrafted free agents.
You talk a little bit about hometown discount too. I think Slater might fall under that too. I mean,
he's going to be 33 next year.
Right. And he's been here forever. He's incredibly intelligent. He's got a media job waiting for him if he wants it. But I suspect he would come. Plus, let's face it, he's a special teams guy. They're not going to give him $7 million.
I got a stupid question. But why do I get the feeling that this could be a possibility? You said that Amendola got, 1.25? Could you imagine, and I wouldn't put it past somebody being true. I'm not saying Tom Brady would do this. Could you imagine saying, okay, we're going to give you $1 million, and Tom Brady going, take the $1 million, I'm going to throw in another million out of my own pocket? Because he certainly could afford it, right?
Yeah, he doesn't need to be paid anything.
Is that even legal? Is that even legal to do something like that?
Giselle
and by the way, would you doubt that if that happened? I could see LeBron James saying, listen, sign whatever we can give you under the cap without going over. I'll give you something out of my purse because I got all the money in the world LeBron's got. I'll give you something personal. You don't think something like that goes on or no?
Is that I don't think something like that goes on as far as it could be going.
I can see it with LeBron.
I don't think it would be legal, to be perfectly honest. And then
Tom Brady maybe not, but LeBron maybe.
No, but I'll tell you, Tom Brady's standing at that microphone saying we did everything we could, but we didn't play well enough to win. What he was really saying is we better spend a ton of bleeping money on the defense next year because there was nothing the offense could have done in that game.
The other thing the thing anybody can do is they can say, okay, we're going to defer some of my salary into a signing bonus, and that's going to open up some cap space.
That
they could do, but I don't think he can just go and give it to him out of his
own pocket. You know how Brady and Amendola are friends and stuff like that. I'd say, come on, I got you covered. I'm not going to give you a check.
I'll buy your beers for the rest of your life.
I'm not going to give you a check. I'll go down to the bank and I'll say, I need $2 million cash.
I'll let you join Giselle and I surfing off of Costa Rica.
I'll give you $2 million cash. We'll get them in 20s and 50s and 100. You'll put it in your safe. Right. You don't deposit it. You'll have the money. I'm telling you, I would not put it past him. I wouldn't put it past like LeBron because LeBron's got gazillions. What's another? I give you $5 million out of my pocket. What's the big thing?
You're preaching to the choir on that one. These people all have enough for 74 lifetimes. Who cares what their next contract is?
Brady, we got. I didn't read this text carefully. It says unnamed texter. Pats have big money problems in 2018. I don't know.
He's saying that there's only $13 million in cap space. However, I don't know that that's the case. I got to look it up. My guess is that
that's not including the.
My guess is that these guys haven't come off the books
that's
yet.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't include those guys.
So that $13 million is going to bolt way up here once these guys officially become free agents on March whatever it is 1st.
Forget about who you want to sign. How many do you think Belichick will sign? And not because whether they're good players or bad players, because of the cap room and stuff like that. I would say probably a third. What is there, 15, maybe 5 of those he'll keep, or am I wrong on that?
I predict that we will see Bolden back. I predict that we will see Amendola back. Mm-hmm. I predict that we will see Solder back and Ebner.
So about Slater? Third, about 4 or 5,
I think he's going to choose Ebner. I think special teams-wise, he's going to go Ebner. Over Slater.
Dumping the longtime special teams captain who makes almost nothing.
I'll say, okay, fine. I'll give you both of them then. Slater and Edmund. That would be 5.
Zach in Bristol said, Arnie, you're right. I guarantee you under the table money stuff happens. What Gruden promised a percentage of the Raiders that never happened? You're going to tell me there's another deal that they gave him that said, hey, we'll give you part of this or part of that. You know what I mean? You know, Jerry Jones owns a company that all the NFL concession company that all the stadiums use. I'm talking crap like he makes a fortune off stuff like that. Do you have any idea? That's like a conflict of interest.
I mean, the thing about, you know, remember when we were talking all about baseball, we were getting all excited about Shohei Ohtani, the Japanese kid coming over. Buster made it very clear to us that he could only be signed for the $600,000 or whatever. And they made it very clear that they didn't say, you were not allowed to say, you're going to sign for this, but hey, the next day we're going to give you $20 million. They made it very clear they're trying to. They don't want that stuff going on.
Yeah, baloney. Freddie, what's coming up next?
Coming up next,
we didn't get into Tyreek Evans. We didn't get into that.
We didn't get into the Celtics. And why does the Bill Belichick assistants? Why have they struggled as head coaches?
All right, we'll get to all that coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Okay, that was a long enough break. We're back to the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Remember, Brady's going to be out of trivia tomorrow. Come by the City Sports Grill in Colchester. Things start about 7:30. Get there a little early. Get there about 7 o'clock. Have something to drink, have something to eat, all kinds of great specials, half-price burgers. So Brady will be out there starting trivia at 7:30.
And there is a special snowmobile parking lot.
Yes.
If you want to come that way.
Yeah, a little snow. Brady, how much snow were we supposed to get, like 4 or 5 inches or something like that?
5 to 12.
Wow.
In other words, there'll be 2 feet to shovel in my Jericho driveway.
Wow. So go have
Thursday
a little fun.
Thursday morning.
You know you're not cooking, so go out and have a little fun out there. All right, let's get to what's going on, because Belichick's assistants don't do very well when it comes to being a head coach.
Yeah, we talk about Patricia McDaniels leaving. Well, his assistants, Belichick assistants,
they stink.
Have combined for a 156-227 record under Belichick. Remember, though, they've entered various circumstances. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Jim Schwartz, who inherited the 0-16 Lions. Right. So I don't know that I'm ready to say that Belichick is a poor groomer of head coaches.
Right off the bat, a first-time texter said, and he maybe has something to this, isn't that obvious? Belichick micromanages so much, his assistants don't actually come up with the schemes and game plan. When they go elsewhere, they are not prepared. Is there something good to that a little bit? Because is he such a control freak that he doesn't like to pass the reins to his offensive and defensive coordinators out there?
I'm not buying that, because even though you've got your hands in it in the week, he's not calling plays on game day. He didn't call defensive plays. He didn't call the offensive plays.
Nobody does micromanage.
He might micromanage during the week, but at the end of the day, Josh McDaniels is still calling plays, so I think he's an effective play caller.
Is Josh McDaniels calling plays, or is Tom Brady calling plays? Did we once ask how many plays are audible to? I'm not sure. You know, I think it's easier to be offensive coordinator, especially when you got somebody like Tom Brady. And remember, Tom and McDaniels got into it. So, I mean, maybe it's Belichick and Tom the reason why McDaniels won't be successful.
Well, the thing about McDaniels, it's so much of this too is a situation. You mentioned the one going to the Lions. I mean, if you're going to inherit an 0-16 team, you're in trouble, although they had a great season the next year. But, I mean, you look at a situation like McDaniels heading to Indy. Is that right? Yes.
Yes.
There's too many changes for my little brain to think about. But, I mean, he's going to have Andrew Luck back, and the situation with Patricia and the Lions, is Matt Patricia suddenly going to lead the Lions to an 11-5 season?
Why, they made the playoffs? They made the playoffs. Didn't they have, 10 wins a couple years ago?
The Lions made the playoffs last season. They went 9-7 this year. Entering the Lions is entering arguably the best job on the board this year.
Yeah, that's not a bad job at all.
No, but do you feel like Matt Patricia is going to be that guy that leads them to the promised land finally? I don't know.
They're almost there. They're 3 wins away from the promised land getting to the playoffs.
I could easily see the Lions being really good next year with Patricia, because they've already got the offensive side of the ball taken care of. You know, usually when you inherit a team, it's a total rebuild with a million questions. Excuse me. Like the 0-16 Lions that Jim Schwartz took over, like the 3-13 Giants that Pat Shurmur's taking over, they are a team just rifled with question marks. Matt Stafford's a franchise quarterback, and they got 2,000-yard receivers in Detroit. That side of the ball will take care of itself. What the Lions haven't had, they've had one top 10 defense in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So if he gets them to even be adequate with that offense, the Lions instantly become a decent team.
But is there anything is a bad job? And I know you say, well, look at Cleveland. All right, well, look at San Francisco. They were almost as horrible. They make one change. They get a quarterback. Now they're like the 10th favorite to go to the Super Bowl for next year. We're talking about 5 games. So anybody that takes over, well, they're not taking over Cleveland, but even if you took over a lousy team, I mean, the Giants have the second pick. I don't expect them to be as lousy as they were this year.
There's no
chance. Well,
let's get healthy.
So what difference does it make if you took over a team that was 1-15, 2-14, 3-13? we expect all these teams to get better, except for maybe the Browns. We expect all these teams to get better.
But I think the fact that it's Belichick's tree, and you look at it, and it just, I mean, Josh McDaniels, 11-17 as a head coach. Romeo Crennel, there's some pretty big names here of guys from his past, 24-40. Granted, he was in Cleveland.
He was 24-40, and then like 4-9 or something in Kansas City.
Yeah, and I mean, Eric Mangini, again, Cleveland, I understand that, but 10-22. Romeo Crennel, 4-15. The only guy with Belichick ties to ever have a winning record in his career as a head coach is Al Groh.
Well,
and I didn't even know he was A head coach and B had anything to do with Belichick. Apparently, he was an assistant for 1 year when he was at Cleveland.
Well, Glenn Monkton said Bill O'Brien's done well in college, and now the Texans, and isn't Nick Saban technically a Belichick?
Oh, absolutely,
protege. So.
Yeah, because he was with the he was the defensive coordinator for the Browns when Belichick.
Yeah, but doesn't
was there.
Mean he learned anything from him.
No, but he struggled as the head coach of Miami. What do you go like? What did he go in Miami? Yeah, you got it in front of you. It's like 11-17 or something like that.
It was
He was 15-17.
Okay, 15-17, yep. Two seasons. So, and Al Groh, we knew he was with Belichick because if you watched the 30 for 30 last week on the two Bills, he was with Parcells and Belichick all the way up in New York and then in New England when the duo came here. So I think Patricia's going to a very, very winnable situation. He's going to a team that already had 9 wins that has a quarterback and a well-developed offense. They play indoors. Weather's not going to be the factor, at least in his home games. Chicago's rebuilding. There's what we think is 2 wins every year for them. Minnesota's good, but they could very easily regress, and we don't know what's going to happen with their quarterback situation. Aaron Rodgers is back. You figure the Packers are going to be good, but I think he's in a winnable situation. I think McDaniels is going in to one of the best, you know, you're not going to go into a better quarterback situation than the one that these guys are going into.
Right. You think Detroit could be the Philadelphia Eagles of next year, that team that just has never been able to quite put it together for that one season?
I don't know, because usually when we say that, we're talking about a team that was in last place, that played a last place schedule and came up, same way Jacksonville did this year. Detroit's still going to play a second place schedule next year, and they're going to win Aaron Rodgers healthy coming back into that division. I don't think they have as many good things going for them. I mean, look at all the good things that happened to Philly this year. 1, Washington's a dumpster fire. 2, the Giants became a dumpster fire. And 3, Ezekiel Elliott was suspended for 6 games, and Dallas became a dumpster fire. So there's a lot of things in that division that went right for Philly, in addition to what they did right themselves.
All right, Tom Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Give me 30 seconds. Bruins at Detroit. Which, by the way, it used to be...
You say, give me 30 seconds.
You just wasted 5 seconds.
And then he keeps talking.
Now you wasted 10 seconds. Give me.
Here,
by the
way,
hold on. That used to be a big rivalry, was it not?
Turn it off.
People would get excited about Bruins-Detroit.
Hold on. Don't start going yet.
Go ahead, Rich.
I still swear that's the football theme, but I guess it's hockey.
It is hockey.
All right. Bruins-Detroit tonight. Bruins are boiling hot. They've lost 1 game in regulation since Thanksgiving.
Tuca is, what, like 18-0-1 or something?
Just ridiculous. The only game they lost was to Dallas.
I've never seen a streak like that.
See, I still can't finish my
sentence. I'm sorry. Go.
No, you go. You just keep talking.
No, go. He's on the streak. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, but just thinking how great, how lucky we are as Boston sports fans with the disappointment of Sunday to be able to fall back on arguably a top 2, maybe 3 team in the NBA that hasn't lost a game in 2 or 3 weeks. Despite half of the players being out with injuries, and the Boston Bruins, who have lost 1 game in the last 2 months.
Detroit tonight, Rangers tomorrow.
Back-to-back
good
Bruins,
games there.
The one thing about the Bruins, they have a lot of games in hand. A lot of games in hand, and unfortunately for them, they'll be making that change in the next couple of months, is playing like 4 games every week, including this week.
I'll get more into it in the playoffs. Brady, give me something on what's going on with the Celtics, because they also play tonight. They're at Toronto, but I think we're just kind of cruising through the regular season. We've buried Cleveland, and now it's like we're just waiting for the Celtics to go to the championship?
I'd be careful about burying Cleveland. Any team LeBron James is on.
It. They're done. They're done.
Really?
Boston takes on Detroit tonight. Kyrie's going to play, he says.
Toronto.
What did I say?
Detroit.
Oh, they're not playing Detroit. No, they're playing Toronto. Yeah. So they're playing Toronto, and Kyrie's going to play tonight. Missed the last couple of games. But the trade deadline is coming up this week also, and the Celtics reportedly interested in Memphis Grizzlies guard Tyreke Evans.
First of all, he's hurt.
Is that the one that used to play for Sacramento, right?
Yes.
He's been all over the place.
I hate that guy.
Look, he's having a really good year, but where does he fit into that scheme?
Jeez.
Well, he's averaging 19 points a game. Right. He's shooting a career-best 39% from 3. He certainly brings a lot of athleticism. I don't think it's a move you go and make, because bringing him in stunts the growth of Tatum and Brown.
Right.
And then if Hayward comes back, then you've got four guys kind of playing in the same position.
Not to mention the fact that they want a first, they want the Lakers pick for him. That's outrageous. They better not do that.
How are my Knicks looking? Oh, they're not.
I don't know. I haven't checked.
They're not in the playoffs. Celtics only have a 2-game lead over Toronto for that number one spot in the Eastern Conference.
DeMar DeRozan, man, he's a blast to watch.
Yeah, obviously, he could have left. He wanted to resign up in Toronto. I thought he was going to go to Los Angeles and do that. By the way, speaking of the Lakers, they pretty much put out all feelers, not feelers, put out the word no to LeBron James in 2019. Is that the next year or whatever the year is? No to LeBron James.
So there's one team LeBron is not being rumored to go to.
Yeah.
There you go.
But that doesn't mean the Clippers aren't, because with the trade of Blake Griffin and the money from, Steve Ballmer.
Right.
Woo.
And they're just begging someone to take DeAndre Jordan. And all I can say as a Celtics fan is, please, go ahead.
Brady,
that would hurt them financially.
What do you got for last story standing, Brady?
Gambling stories,
nice.
Just like you like.
I love it. I love it. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, tell me what you got for Last Story Standing. I'm curious about this one.
I got a gambling story for you you're Mr. Gambling.
Yes, I am.
And Mr. Prop Bet. So Justin Timberlake helped some bettors break the Vegas books. It opened up that the Prince-related song that Timberlake might sing, the one he ended up singing was I Would Die For You.
Right.
That opened up at 50-1 odds.
Whoa!
Prop bets. So some people might have gotten wind of it, and then they took two $200 bets on that, and then the establishment took it down to 25-1.
Wow.
Another place had it, and they took it all the way down to 8-1 by the end because it was getting bet on so heavily.
Wow.
50-1 bets cost the site $20,000. 25-1 cost... cost the place $10,000, 18-1, 7,200, and 10-1, 4,000. So if you bet all of them, it costs you at least $41,000, and a lot of people did that.
Nobody gives me this inside information. All I had was the dilly-dilly information. Unbelievable.
Well, you tell me you know everybody, so don't you know Justin Timberlake? You must have had him on your show at some point.
No, not me and JT. No, I don't. I don't know him. Brady, what are you putting the over-under on me and points tonight in the YMCA game? You had 5.5 last time, I think, and I went
high.
Under.
The over-under tonight is 4.
4?
Yeah, you're playing the best team,
actually,
aren't you?
Yeah, but we only have 6 players, so I'll probably get a few more shots this time.
Actually, because Arnie doesn't hit 2s, he only hits 3s.
I always shoot 3s. I
have to just go 3.
Yeah, 3.5.
3.5.
Yeah,
you have to score something. There's only 6 of you.
In 7 games, I've never attempted a 2-point shot. Every one of my shots have been 3.
I'm going 3.5 for the over-under for Arnie.
What's coming up at Champlain Valley game night?
We go to the Cats Den. Cam Ward is going to join us, UVM senior basketball player. We'll also talk with Jim Plumer, the UVM women's coach,
Jim!
And we'll get his take on Amanda Pelkey getting ready for Olympic competition less than a week from today.
All right. For Brady and Rich, I'm Arnie. Champlain Valley game
intern
night.
Logan.
Oh, intern Logan. Totally forgot about him. He got me water today.
And he threw it at you.
This is, I don't even know what the hell we are, but this is 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle.